Hello, hello out there, and welcome to Focus with Angela Duncan, where we focus on growing deeper in our walks with the Lord by focusing on God's love, God's heart, and the truth of His Word. I'm your host, Angela Duncan. Thank you to all our listeners who tune in each week on Fishbowl Radio Network, the number one internet station. We have 4 million listeners tuning in globally each week. So thank you to all of our listeners. My guest just made the funniest face when I said 4 million. You got it, bro. Last week, our top 10 countries tuning in were United States, India, Philippines, Mexico, Spain, United Kingdom, Poland, Finland, Ecuador, and Libya. You can find me on Facebook under the group name Focus with Angela Duncan or on podcast under Focus with Angela Duncan as well. Please go and subscribe. Our goal at Focused is to uplift, encourage, and inspire you by providing you with Christ-centered content that is authentic, informative, and relevant. So today is Testimony Tuesday. Woo! And we have a great testimony for you today to share with our listeners. I'm super excited today because my guest is Gene Mason. He's the CEO of Still I Rise. Still I Rise is aimed at encouraging men who have experienced domestic violence to shift from surviving to thriving by initiating healing to the broken heart. Growing up, having seen and being a male that was verbally and physically abused, Gene often gets opportunities to encourage other men and women that may be experiencing or know of someone who is suffering or being abused. Gene shares his testimony with others in hope to encourage, enlighten, relate, educate, and inspire, ultimately initiating healing by introducing them to the healer. Amen. He, along with his lovely wife, Shannon Mason, are joining us today to detail their journey or his journey and how she was also instrumental with domestic violence and how the Lord used their union to bring healing and restoration. Please welcome Gene and Shannon Mason to the show.
Hello.
I don't have a so there I'm going to do it. So good to
Hello.
See you guys.
Hi.
Hi, Gene. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Thanks. I saw your face when I said 4 million listeners.
Yeah.
With his little church hand over.
He's like, I'm exiting now. Oh, my goodness. I know. I kind of don't say that ahead of time because I think I wouldn't have guessed. People would back out. So you're good. It's just us in the studio, so we're fine. All right. So thank you guys for being here. I'm really excited to hear this testimony, and I really believe it's going to be informative and it's going to be helpful to a lot of people. And thank you already for your transparency, for just being honest and being real. So in the intro, I talked about your organization called Still I Rise, and you started this for men who have been through domestic violence, correct?
Yes.
All right. So let's just jump in. How did you find yourself in like a physically abusive marriage? Can you explain that? And, like, tell us how that came about. What was that like?
Abuse has several different facets.
Okay.
And nine out of 10 men don't even realize what they're dealing with.
Mm.
So therefore, we respond incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
Most women don't even know that they're being abusive,
mm-hmm.
you know, by some of the things that they say.
Mm-hmm.
Men too. This goes both ways. There
right.
are men who, you know, who just say some of the stupidest things, mm-hmm. and it's abusive.
Mm-hmm.
There are actions that we do towards each other. That's abusive. There's comments that we make about each other that are labeled abusive.
Right.
There are women who most women probably would never think about or never been told or never comprehend that to like to withhold intimacy from her husband.
Yeah.
It's a form of abuse.
It is.
But most women would never see that, and
mm-hmm.
most men would never think that that's what it is,
mm-hmm.
and so therefore they deal with it incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
They go out and cheat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just it's a vicious cycle that unfortunately a lot of men and women are going through.
So was yours physical?
Yes.
Okay. So can you explain that to us? Because I think a lot of times people don't think men deal with physical abuse from a woman.
Anytime your spouse or a woman gets upset and hits you or throws something at you, or and you know, as well as being verbally abusive, those are those have been my experiences.
So, did you see? Was it initially in the marriage, or was it like further in, or was like
that? It was some, initial.
It was initial. So, anytime that person would get upset, your former spouse, they would throw things, they would hit you, and as a man, I know people question that. What is, yeah, I mean, you know, that's just an automatic thing. What was your response? How come you didn't hit her? You know, how come you didn't stop it? Why did you, why did you stay, I guess? Because that's what people say to women all the time. How long did it go on?
The duration of the marriage.
Which was, if you don't mind me asking.
23 years.
So for 23 years, that was what you dealt with?
23 years.
So was it both of you, or was it just mainly coming from her?
It was mainly her, but as it got, as it went further, there were situations that I ended up, she had used a system to hurt me, and our system waits.
Yes.
For women to call them to initiate hurt to our men.
Absolutely.
And I remember after the second time I went in, I remember when I got home, I said, I've gone twice for free. I said,
gone to jail?
Yes.
Yes.
I said, I won't go again for free. If you call the police on me again, you know, there's going to be a reason for me going to jail.
So that, that is exactly, your face is so funny. That is exactly what I was thinking. You know, when people say, how do men find themselves in this situation? You know, you think, oh, she's the weaker one. She, you know, they're bigger. How is that possible? But I feel like the system is designed that if a woman says, you put your hands on me, there's no questions asked. But if a man says that, it's like, what? You know.
And they leave and they don't do anything. They don't reprimand her. They don't talk to her. They may talk to her and they'll tell you. Matter of fact, I even had an officer threaten me and I called him. I had a restraining order. And she was at the house and I had a restraining order. And they did nothing. And, but they told me that they would arrest me if I didn't stop
and
talking.
That's the thing. That is what I felt like, you know, before, because I made it a point to not ask you a lot of questions because I wanted to hear your testimony from you. And my thought process when I was getting ready for the show, I said, I bet you, because I know someone that's been in that situation before, and the woman would get in their face, buck them, hit them, you know, pinch them, slap them, throw their computer at them. And the minute the man put their hands up to stop her.
Or restrain.
Or restrain, which just makes sense because you throwing licks, you know, to restrain. Boom, cops are called. No questions asked. It's got to be him. So I can imagine that cycle that there was a fear there. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to keep going to jail if something's going to happen. You know, I could end up in prison based on this person's allegations. So tell me why 23 years.
I didn't know any better. I didn't see it as abuse. I didn't know it was abuse. I remember calling my dad, and I remember asking him. I remember talking to him about it. My dad said, "Boy, that's just the way women are. They're just crazy." You know.
Wow. He
said if you leave this one and go get another one, it's just gonna be the same way. So you might as well stay there and work it out.
So that was the advice you got. Wow. So, did you see that growing up?
I seen that growing up all over, all over. I seen our neighbors. I remember, I'll never forget, I remember going to see my auntie. And next door to her, there was a woman standing out in the yard, and she had a 5-foot chain, and she was whipping her man. And every time that chain would hit him, it ripped his skin. And I
sound like the and the stripes police, of Jesus.
And the police stood right there, and they did not. They didn't charge her. They didn't draw their guns. Mm-hmm. They didn't do. Ma'am, please put the chain down. But he all the while he was standing there, bleeding, cut open. She had hit him at least 3 times across his back, and each time she hit him, it ripped him open. I remember seeing some. Oh my gosh!
Stuff like that a lot. And you saw it from the woman abusing the man. And so that is what is shocking to me, because you don't hear about it. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but you know, the domestic violence conferences, the domestic violence awareness groups, it's typically for women. And so when you hear a man, they always want to know, well, how? Why didn't he, you know what I mean? Because he's bigger or he's, but like you said, I mean, law enforcement and the way our system is set up is really to protect the woman. And sometimes I think people take advantage of that.
But you women are
not you women, because I ain't. Yeah. Okay. Oh, you finna say something good. Okay. I was like, it would say you women be doing stuff. I would say, I ain't never hit nobody.
Women are, were the last creation. And I think God put everything that he didn't put in the world, I believe he put it in a woman. She's the only you can recreate, you can reproduce, you can build, you can nurture, you're like a queen on a chessboard. Mm-hmm. You have multifacets. And so it's not uncommon for a woman, and I know men think they're, I know we think we're you know, we running game and we got this and that. And you, if you got that, hey, go on with your bad self. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, if a woman doesn't want you to run a game,
right,
you won't be running no game.
Right.
And she can do whatever and has done whatever. I mean, how many times has a woman said she was pregnant and it wasn't his?
Right.
That's abuse. Mm-hmm. That's mental, emotional,
very
financial.
True. Very true.
Oh my gosh. So who got game? You or her?
Right. Right. That's a good point. So how common is it?
It's very.
Mm-hmm. Are people just not wanting to speak on it because of the stigma, because of the fact that as a man you're not supposed to go through that by a woman?
It's more common these days than it was those days.
Mm. Why do you think that is?
Because it's changed. The abuse has changed from physical to mental and emotional and spiritual. You know, versus just all out, I'm mad at you because you cheated on me, so I'm going to beat you. You know, we've moved from that to baby, can you, baby, will you? I don't need you. I don't want you. I got my own. You know, so we've changed our abuse tactics, and it's there's nothing we can do about it through the system, you know.
Yeah.
There's no help outside of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
There's no help.
Golly. And you think about all the shelters, all the organizations and things that they are there for women, but there is nothing there for men. Whew, that's amazing. You minister to a lot of men, and you said from the pulpit on down.
I have.
They've reached out to you. They find themselves in this situation. Let's talk about that. Are they typically embarrassed to admit it, and they're okay with you because they know you've been through it? Are they usually referred to you?
You know what? I never asked them if they were embarrassed. Mm-hmm. The beauty of me talking with other men is that I can relate. You don't have to come to me ashamed.
Yeah.
You know, and because I was married so long, actually I've been married more than half my life.
Right.
So, you know, when someone comes to me, they know I'm not going to put them down or criticize mm-hmm. anything like that
yeah.
because, you know, I've been married a long time, guys.
Yeah.
Actually, I've been married 4 times. This is mm-hmm. my 4th.
Okay.
So, you know, nobody can say anything to anybody about, you know, you've been doing this, you know, you should get out. Mm-hmm. I don't minister or talk to people that way. What I do, and I don't tell them what they should do,
mm-hmm.
I tell them my testimony.
Amen.
And, you know, you do what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, you've got the answer to mm-hmm. you and your actions. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to get anybody to walk away from anything.
Yeah.
Or hurt anybody
mm-hmm.
or fight back.
Mm-hmm.
I have had a friend call me and I tell him, hey, man, you're free to come over to my house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're free to to come over and stay as long as you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I have done that. But, you know, and the guy went to the hospital and the doctor and they told him he had PSPD or PSD or whatever.
PSTD, uh-huh.
Because he was being hit, you know.
Wow.
And I told him, man, you know, he's like, Gene, what should I do? And I was like, man, you know,
PTSD.
If you like to be hit, you know, just stay there. If you don't,
right.
move. I mean, what else can I say to you,
mm-hmm.
you know? You know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that the woman is trying to hurt the man in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cases, they're just trying to control the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to say this. I want to say this. As men and women, we watched a culture control us
mm-hmm.
by whipping us.
Mm.
And so we have turned around and we're using those same tactics
mm.
to control
each other.
Mm.
That's deep.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. That's deep. And so it's so much deeper, which is what I hear you saying.
It really
then
is.
And so the trauma goes deeper and
it really does.
Not healed as a person. You know what I'm saying? Just you.
I don't believe we're healed as a race.
Race, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
As a culture.
I wonder, and I'm only hearing it from you, but I wonder how much it's prevalent in other cultures, or if it's just mainly our culture. I'm sure it is, but you know, I don't know. But that is a good point. I hadn't even thought about that. That's deep. So y'all had children? Did you and the wife?
Yes, I've got 7 children.
Okay, so they saw this. What was their? Did they see it? Did they not see it? Did y'all hide it from? I mean, you know.
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
No, the first two seen some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The other 5 seen some stuff. you know, it's just, and yet some of the things that they seen were not as they appeared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many times my children saw me restraining.
Yeah.
So everything was over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was restraining. And mm-hmm. so my children were like, you know, dad, you're.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They missed the other part.
Yeah. You missed all the other mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah. You know?
And it's just, man, it was just.
That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
What made you decide to be open about your situation and start to tell your testimony? Because I would think that a lot of people might not want to share that, but I think it's so important that people do, because you don't know who all is dealing with that. And obviously, based on what you've said, there's many that are. Did the Lord just press that upon your heart, or did once you were, you know, through the trauma and started, you know, going through the healing, you were like, you know what, I got to help pull other people out? Or
during the healing process,
mm-hmm.
I remember the Lord telling me that he was going to use me to heal others.
Mm.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was
this.
You know, I thought I was going to be laying hands on folks.
Right.
You know, and these jokers is going to be raising up, you know. I didn't know it was going to be.
Right. Oh, man.
So, So when that happened, the first time it happened, I remembered
what the Lord said,
what God said. And I was like, oh, shucks. So that means I got to be transparent.
Oh, man. Yeah. One of the things, Shannon, when we were talking, Shannon is in the studio, his wife, and we were talking pre-episode, and I was like, how deep do you want to go in? Are you okay with us really discussing this? And he was like, girl, I'm an open book. I ain't scared. And I was like, wow. You know, we joked about it, but I was like, he must really be through this, because it's when you're not, it is very difficult to be transparent. You will tell a little bit, but you won't tell it all. And I really believe that telling it all is what really causes, you know, really brings the freedom, because the enemy likes to hide in the dark. He likes to hide in secret and shame. Right. But so I love that you're transparent about it, because so many people probably don't feel that yet. And so that's part of the healing process, I'm sure. You said that the Lord, I know, was very instrumental in your restoration, but also your wife that is here with us. Talk about how he used her to really start that process.
Okay, where do I start?
And feel free, Shannon, to jump in anytime.
I like
well,
to.
You know I am.
my girl, that's my baby. I like to start at, I was 48 years old, my birthday, and I asked the God, I asked the Holy Spirit, said, I want to know what love is. And
so good.
After that, I met Shannon. That I had a dream, actually.
Come on, Martin Luther King.
Same week.
I had a dream. Not joking. Yeah.
But this dream was better than Martin Luther King.
Come on.
I saw a picture of the entire world. And God was on the left side. And there was a line of women on the right. And that line went all the way around the world. And God said to me, because I had asked him to know what love is. And he said, you can have all of, he said, you can have them or you can choose me.
Ooh, come on.
And I looked at them and I said, all, and then it was all different colors and races and size. And I said, all of them? And he said, they will bring their best gift. He said, or you can choose me. And I said, their best gift? And I looked down the line and I said, ooh. I said, all of them? And he said, all of them.
Wow.
And I said, all right, I'll choose you. And I chose the Lord. And after that, I met Shannon. And he had already started the healing process in my life. It's one thing, okay, you know you're healed when you can discuss it without reliving it.
That part.
When you're reliving it, when you're reliving the pain and you're reciting the pain, then yes, that's not healing. That's anger. That's malice. That's strife. That's wrath. You know what I'm saying? And ultimately sickness.
Yeah.
So, I met my queen.
I love it.
And she does something that I had never seen. And I want to tell this. I got to tell this.
Come
story.
On.
I got
to tell this. This is your testimony time. Come on.
So I'll never forget. I lost my job. And to a man to lose his job and then have to go home and tell his wife and family.
I
get it. You want to just dry.
Yeah.
And not just dry. As much all the gas out the car, just dry.
I've heard that a lot. Yes.
You know, because you don't want to go home. And I'll never forget. And I just kept saying to myself, how am I going to tell my queen? How am I going to tell my queen? How am I going to tell? I let them down. And I mean, I am beating myself up so bad mentally.
Yeah.
Till physically, I'm feeling pain. I get home. I walk in the house. She's not home. And there are signs everywhere I walk. Hi, King. Glad you made it home. We love you. And then I go in the room.
Come on. And there's another sign that says,
hey, King, I've made you some bath water. We're not home. We'll be home shortly. Take your clothes off. Go and get in the tub. And I go in the bathroom, and there's another sign that says, hey, King, I love you. No worries. Everything is going to be all right.
Wow.
And the bath water's made, and my clothes are laid out. And I get in the tub, and I feel the presence of God.
Golly. Come on.
And I begin to weep uncontrollably. And she comes in. And I say, I lost my job. And she says, I know. It's okay. And she begins to, she washes me, washes my head. And she washes my back. And when she's doing this, I'm feeling the anxiety and the pain wash away. And I know I'm a worshiper. Mm-hmm. I know what the presence of God feels like.
Yes.
And so I'm feeling the presence of God, and I'm crying uncontrollably. Mm. And that's my testimony.
Shannon.
Yes, come ma'am. On, girl. Yes, you ma'am. Better come on. That is absolutely beautiful. I love it.
Yes, ma'am.
So you knew he had lost his job?
Yes. I mean, we kind of knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, I have to backtrack because I've, like you said, mental abuse. I had been previously married 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually going through my own divorce. And like you said, you don't know that you're going through because everyone tells you abuse is, especially for women, is the man hitting
yeah.
you, right? And I was going through a financial abuse, but I didn't see it as that, right? Because I always, you know, I'm like, well, we didn't split because he cheated and I cheated and he didn't hit me, he didn't beat me. So it was until actually my sisters had to show me that I was in an abusive situation financially,
gotcha.
Right? And not being taken care of. But you, like, again, because you think abuse is one way.
Mm-hmm.
So after we met and got married and stuff, for me, I remember meeting him because I said, I told my spiritual mom, I said, the woman who loves him to the core of who he is, he'll give her the world. I said, but it ain't me, right? Like, I told her, I said, it ain't me. And so she laughed, and I said, I don't care, you laughing, but it ain't me. But here we are married, right? So, but I knew he had been through pain. But I think what people, but with me, it was interesting because it was like, it was truly God.
Yeah.
I can't take no credit.
Clearly.
Because God had shifted me and flowed through me to love him. Because it was like after a year and a half of the marriage and we talked, because we went through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, we went through some.
Yeah.
But he said, I didn't realize that I, in return, became the abuser mentally because he had been. So yes. I was getting some hits, not like physical, but just, you know,
oh, yeah.
It was the
effects.
God was stripping him and he was clawing his way at God.
Yes.
So I was getting the, you know what I'm saying?
I totally do.
But God was like, and he would tell me, don't do that. Pray.
Yeah.
Don't say nothing. Ooh. Do this.
Don't that be
and
hard.
And there's times I was disobedient. I opened my mouth anyway.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, Shane, don't say nothing. I'd be like, whoop, 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 whoop. And God's like, did not tell you.
Oh, I know.
Because
worst.
It triggered
oh, yeah.
my response.
Mm-hmm.
But I was clawing. Because I'm like, what's this?
Yes.
Hold on.
Yes.
I don't understand this.
Oh, I
so,
love it.
But through it, God was, he was so amazing because God would tell me the littlest things.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? And he had never... I always call him sexy.
Mm,
he had never been called handsome,
oh,
sexy.
Man.
And so God would, you know, I just, there's certain things I would say, or God would say, go shopping. And one day I went shopping. He came home. He had a bed full of clothes. And he just wept because he never had that. So God would literally give me.
Tell you how to bless him. the way that would go to the core.
And
of
I, but it was only I had to stay in God's face.
Oh my God!
It wasn't something I did. I can't take the credit. Because I would go to God. I'm like, God, I don't understand this. What do you want me to do? Because this in return, it hurts, right?
Yeah.
But yet, God needed to use the nurturing and the. He was wounded by a woman, so God's like, I had to love him
for
a woman.
Come on. Right? Yes.
And me and God had a conversation. I said, well, did you ask me about it first? Could you have sat down in front of me, had this conversation, and told me what I was.
Tell me what I'm fixed to do.
Right. God didn't have that conversation. But he showed me he was wounded through a woman.
Oh, man.
So I had to love him through a woman. It wasn't, I couldn't love him through a man.
Absolutely.
He had to love him through what wounded him.
You know, it's funny you say that because I love that the Holy Spirit showed you that because it's so true. And I've heard that pattern more than once. We just had somebody on, I was telling you guys 2 weeks ago, and Restoration Hope, they help pull people out of sex trafficking and prostitution and drug abuse and stuff like that. And so the guy that's over it, he's an older grandfather and he's the nicest pastor you've ever seen, but he's very, very, very integral in the healing process. And people always say, well, why is he a part of the whole thing? Because he's the face. He's the one that does all this stuff. You would think it'd be other women ministering to him. They do mentors and stuff like right. that. But he does a huge part of it. And he said the same thing. He said, the Lord told me when I started this, because the abuse came through a man, the healing has to come through me, and I have to kind of stand in the father place. I have to stand in the ex-husband place, the abuse, the pimp. You know, because they're dealing with pimps and things like that. So it's deep. So that is so deep that you said
and you
that.
Take a lot.
Oh, yeah.
People don't realize.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine how much he takes.
Yeah.
As a man. Because yeah. he's standing there in the gap. Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
Right? And so mm-hmm. they're coming at him and all. Mm-hmm. Everything's coming at him, mm-hmm. whether the women are getting mad at him. It's mm-hmm. just, he's taking it.
Yeah.
But the grace of God is flowing through him.
Obviously. Because you have to, I told him, you have to be strong to handle that. He said sometimes he'll just weep because he feels.
Oh, I've been there.
Oh, I'm sure.
I've laid in the closet and cried many a time.
Look how beautiful and how much God loves us. Mm-hmm. That he designed you for him mm-hmm. and him for you. Yes. Because what I'm finding too, and I tell people this all the time, you know, you don't want to get just married because they cute and they fine and they whatever, because that can change. You want somebody that's going to be kingdom, because there's going to be a reason that you're together and God will use that. And most of the time, whatever you're weak in, he's stronger in. Whatever he's weak in, you're used for that. Right. And so I have found that with my own marriage, that the very areas that I needed that strength in, my husband doesn't have that issue. The very areas he needed me in, I'm like straight. You know what I'm saying? So we can kind of, you know what I mean? God is so awesome in that, because he truly, like, that path is like, if we stay on the narrow path and we stay with him, you will see his hand in like everything you do.
Yeah.
That is so beautiful. Go on, Shannon. Yeah. And I love the fact that he tells that. Mm-hmm. He gives that credit.
I remember that day.
That's beautiful.
It was actually, he was in the tub and had the jazz music going, had the candles going, and he.
All right, my husband listening now, baby.
he was weeping, and at the time, I didn't understand the depth of that weep.
Yeah.
But I knew it was God who went
my
there.
Gosh.
Right? So to me, it's like, okay, I made a bathwater, but it was more to him. And God knew what he needed.
What he needed.
And it's just certain things. And you know, it's I'm awesome. Telling you, God will, like just a couple of weeks ago, he wasn't feeling good. And so God, it was interesting because he was down for 2.5 weeks, mm-hmm. right? And God literally had me take care of him. You know, it's not the normal get soup and orange juice.
Yeah.
God really had me take care of him. And it did something. So, you know, I was like, wow, I don't realize the depth of what he went through in the areas and the doors that were closed, but God does. And you have to be available, whether it's male or female, you know.
Wow.
You have to. That's why we're here. It's like
it's ministry.
We worship mm-hmm. and we'll pray and say, God, use me. Mm. And see, we'll think it's ministry and flying all over the world. Right? And we're quick to jump up and put on a collar and go stand on the pulpit and think we're supposed to be over in missions. That's not what he means. Are you available even in your marriage?
Well, that's your first ministry.
Exactly.
It behooves me that people are out here preaching and your family's falling apart. People are here sharing the gospel and your kids is wayward and all over the place.
Right.
That is your first ministry. And I tell my husband this all the time. I'm always like, I don't want to dare share the gospel with anyone. I don't want to be on this radio show. If my kids are at home cutting the fool and they don't love God, I will shut this down. Because I'm not going to be out here sharing and getting folks saved and then my own children. That's who God gave me, you know what I'm saying, right in my own home. So same thing with marriage. And I'm going to have to run some bath water when I get home because I know my husband, he be listening. Hey, baby, he listens.
Y'all
don't put the pressure. No, I'm joking. I'm kidding, Shannon.
You know what we tell our kids? It's like when God put two people together, and God showed me that, and it was so, because I one day before, after I split from my first husband, I said, I want a kingdom marriage. I got to know you as a king. There's a difference between a religious marriage than a kingdom. Mm. And God showed me when he put two people together in the Bible, it was to change a nation.
Speak on it.
Right? There's a nation. So the healing in him wasn't about him. It was about the nation in him. Right? And in even with our kids, I'm like, he's always saying, be careful of the seed you carry and be careful of the seed you give. Mm. Because I was like, when you get together, it's not about fancy and he cute, like you said, and she fine and she long Brazilian hair. And she, it's not that. It's a, when you put you together, it's a nation shifter.
Gene. Flip my hair. Go ahead.
You know what I'm talking about on that one. I ain't talking about that.
You don't even look up because I'm messing. Go ahead. But I love y'all.
It's a nation. So when you put together, it's because you're supposed to shift a nation.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Look at Esther.
Yes.
She saved a nation.
Come on and preach this.
Right?
Come on.
Abraham and Seth saved a nation. That's why the promise couldn't go to who Abraham was with.
What's her name?
You know what I'm talking about? Because the promise wasn't between them. Mm-hmm. It was between Abraham and Sarah to shift a nation. So when you get together, your nation shifters, right?
Yes. So golly, he changed a generation.
Exactly.
He changed the trajectory. Y'all changing the trajectory of y'all's whole generation. So that's what the enemy doesn't want.
Right.
And that's why I believe the things happen, the trauma. That's why he tries to start when you're younger.
When you're younger.
You know what I'm saying? Start the trauma then so that you're traumatized and you feel like, you know, there's no worth, there's no hope, and you never make an impact.
Right.
But thank God for Christ Jesus, who always leads us into triumph. Right. Beautiful. He was like, I need her on the show because he was like, she was a huge part. I didn't do this alone.
Right.
That's awesome.
And it's you know, when we met, because we have together is 12.
Mm-hmm.
He had 7 in his first, I have 5.
Jesus, hallelujah.
And it's amazing because the 5 loved on him as well. Right, they had their moments, but they loved on him as well. They didn't. You ain't my daddy.
Yeah,
I would have choked him, and we wouldn't be here because I'd probably be locked up somewhere because I didn't choke the kids. But y'all play. But they, I never raised them like that, so they didn't do you or not. They embraced them.
That's
so
awesome.
It wasn't. It was a package deal, right? Mm. Because the wound not only came from the ex, but you know, just the distance with the children and because the lies. And
mm-hmm.
So God gave him 5 more.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
So
there's restoration again, even through that. Right. He has. Yeah. That's beautiful.
But you got to be available. That's the love of it. I mean, that's the beauty of it. It's like, are you really available? And that's the, you know, it's like, that's the kind of conversation me and God had. Like,
what I love, how were you as a woman when he shared everything with you about what he had been through? How did you react? What was your...
I'm like you. At first, it's like a man.
Yeah. That's what everybody thinks.
Like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, I was the type that I always went to God and said, okay, God, show me the truth.
Yeah.
Tell me the truth.
So good.
Because we just had that kind of bond. You know what I mean? God has that kind of bond. So... God started to show me. And there's times I raised my eyebrow a couple times, like, wait a minute, I don't know. It's, you know, but God just, he would show me, you know. And I think what did it is because my oldest son was in a situation and I didn't know it, but he recognized it.
Woo! Kind of a similar situation.
Mm-hmm. And because it was so, I didn't know.
Yeah.
You don't look for it. And if you look at him, he's like 6'3". And,
exactly.
Know, big guy, worked out, exactly. Play football. So I'm like, you know.
They're like, there's no way. Yeah.
But when it was all said and done, he was going, but he noticed it. And he would talk to him. And he would say, I've seen it. I know that kind of woman. I'm going to tell you this. And I was sitting there like, and it was until my son, we got him out of the situation, and he broke down and told us the truth. And I was like, what? So God placed him because I would have never paid attention to the signs.
I'm telling you.
Right?
I'm telling you.
And God actually protected him through that. So
good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. People are commenting. Somebody said, this is so awesome. Praise God. This is beautiful. So, golly, I don't even, I'm like, this testimony is so awesome. You know, I have my list, but I'm just thinking, anyone that's listening, how important it is it for them to seek help, not to suffer in silence, not to feel that stigma? Because I believe if you really do release it to God, like you did, and allow the Lord, I mean, he brought you someone that was totally understanding. You know, I think people are in fear that they're going to be judged or they're going to be not accepted, especially as a man. What would you say to someone who maybe, I guess, find themselves in that situation?
Jean?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
One thing that I... He, you know, when we were talking about it, he said, let me tell you the signs. He said, an abuser will always be an abuser.
Mm-hmm.
A rapist will always be a rapist,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you can't help yourself. A cheater is always a cheater. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't, it's always, you find the cycle of repeating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what helped me with him, because it was like, you're not, it doesn't make sense, because this, You're hearing this is what was happening, right? And
mm-hmm.
there were sayings that this is how he was, but it didn't make sense because it wasn't consistent. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, if you was really that bad, as they say,
mm-hmm.
then you would somewhere be repeating it
mm-hmm.
again,
mm-hmm.
right? If you was abusive, you would be repeating it.
So the story was coming that it was you that was the abuser.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yep.
And you're saying if that was the case, it should show up in your marriage at some point.
Yes,
and you should be seeing it. He should be jumping on you. He should be choking you, all of that stuff. And you don't see that, if anything. Well, I could just tell just the way he talks. I mean, and just hearing his testimony, mm-hmm. there's a heart of, like, of David there. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know him, but I mean, I just, you know, he says he's a worshiper. He's a this.
Yeah,
I see David. Different. You know what I'm saying? And just a softness there. I mean, I don't want him saying you're not.
No,
you know what I mean.
Girl, listen.
Okay.
You can say that. I'm not.
You listen, don't
I'm
get.
I'm way
past all that. Okay, cool.
This is 54-year-old man meat. I'm way past that. 54.
Wow.
Yeah,
bro.
I look like I'm 34.
You do.
I know.
You do. That's amazing.
But that's the restoration.
That's the restoration.
That is.
You would have met him, it didn't.
That is God. He takes them years. He says he redeems the time. For real.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
He was, when you met him, and when I met him, he was gentle,
uh-huh.
right? He was cool, he was sweet, but you could see the hardness.
Yeah.
Right? He mm-hmm. he had his walls up,
yeah.
and there's things that trigger, God had to teach me trigger points,
yeah.
and how to
Same.
Walk him through the trigger
mm-hmm.
points, and then as God, as he would say, and growing up, religion has hurt us so much
mm-hmm.
because it's I'm the man, I'm the head kind
go.
Of conversation,
there
right?
There you go.
Well, I was rebuttal against
mm-hmm.
that. When you start talking about submission,
mm-hmm.
I had problems.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that I wasn't submissive.
Mm-hmm.
It's how it was taken out
yes.
of context.
Out of context.
Right.
Yes.
So he had a hard shell, but I love because as God started to break it,
mm.
you actually started to see. I was like, oh, he kind of sexy. Well, he really is good looking. You started to see the oh softness God. Come out,
what
right?
Said, like, what you said.
Yeah, man, you started, and he started to smile more. Things started.
Yes.
But God had to break
yes.
that hardness.
I love it. I'm going to make y'all laugh. And Mom, please don't kill me when I say this, but when I was doing the promo for the show, my mom saw it. She was driving by the man. She didn't know who it was. She said, ooh, who is that?
That's all right, Mom. I know.
He handsome. And I started laughing. I was like, this is my next guest. She's like, girl, you know, because your daddy was chocolate. I like him like it.
And my dad
was. He, you know, he's no longer with us, but she likes him. My mom's lighter, but she likes him dark. And so we laughed. And so when you said that, I was like, ooh, I want to share that with him. I was going to share it on camera, but that was too perfect. He told me, hey, mama, she's listening too. I'm about to get a text. So if someone is listening and because we're about to have to wrap up, if someone's listening and they need to maybe confide in you or confide in someone, is there somewhere that they could go? Is it the Still I Rise? Should I put out your Gmail information?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, go ahead and put that out so somebody could reach out to you.
No, do you go home?
Still I Rise. Mm-hmm. It's on Facebook.
Okay, Still I Rise with a Z, right?
With a Z.
Still I Rise. Okay.
And
it's a group on Facebook, so they can reach out to you there. Uh-huh.
Right. And my email, GeneMason2@yahoo. You can reach me there. And
Number two.
Okay, and I'll reach out to you.
Gene Mason. Is that one word?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Gene Mason. And two. Then two I's or number two?
Number two.
Okay. Two@yahoo.com. Are there any programs? Are there any places out there for men to go, really?
Not yet.
Well, maybe that's your mission.
Not yet. I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
When the opportunity comes,
mm-hmm.
I believe it is. But in the meantime, I'm just encouraging.
That's so awesome.
That's what I have. That's what I can do is, you know, share my testimony.
And what a testimony it is. Oh, man. Thank you guys so much for being here. That time goes quick, doesn't it? I pray that if you are listening and Gene's testimony has encouraged you, inspired you, and you may be in the situation, you may be a man that's listening and you didn't have anywhere to go, you didn't think it was anyone else that was dealing with this situation, you heard his testimony, you heard how God delivered and restored him, how he sent him a wonderful woman and a beautiful wife to help him. So go look on Still I Rise, RIZE, on Facebook. And my husband just told me to run his bath water when I got home.
Do you know when we actually tell that story, you know how many men?
Oh, I'm sure.
They be like, baby, you gonna run my bath water now?
Yes.
And I'll be like,
I can't even get off of this. I just saw the text, baby. I love you. We gonna see. You might have to get a shower. I'm tired. Thank you guys for being here. That is our show. We will see you guys next Tuesday, same time, same place. Focus with Angela Duncan. Tuesdays at 7:00. See you on the stream.